cool and clear and sudden as a bird sings in the grey. Dunedin to Samoa spoke, and darkness unto day. But we were young, we lived to see God break their bitter charms. God and the good Republic come riding back in arms. We have seen the city of man's soul, even as it rocked, relieved. Blessed are they who did not see, but being blind, believed. This is a tale of those old fears, even of those emptied hells. And none but you shall understand the true thing that it tells. Of what colossal gods of shame could cowmen and yet crash? Of what huge devils hid the stars, yet fell at pistol flash? The doubts that were so plain to chase, so dreadful to withstand. Oh, who shall understand but you? Yea, who shall understand? The doubts that drove us through the night, as we two talked amain, and day had broken on the streets, ere it broke upon the brain. Between us by the peace of God, such truth can now be told. Yea, there is strength in striking root, and good in growing old. We have found common things at last, and marriage and a creed. And I may safely write it now, and you may safely read. G.K.C. Chapter 1. The Two Poets of Saffron Park. The suburb of Saffron Park lay on the sunset side of London. As red and ragged as a cloud of sunset, it was built of a bright brick throughout. Its skyline was fantastic, and even its ground plan was wild. It had been the outburst of a speculative builder, faintly tinged with art, who called its architecture sometimes Elizabethan and sometimes Queen Anne, apparently under the impression that the two sovereigns were identical. It was described with some justice as an artistic colony, though it never in any definable way produced any art. But although its pretensions to be an intellectual centre were a little vague, its pretensions to be a pleasant place were quite indisputable. The stranger who looked for the first time at the quaint red houses could only think how very oddly shaped the people must be who could fit into them. Nor when he met the people was he disappointed in this respect. The place was not only pleasant, but perfect. If once he could regard it not as a deception, but rather as a dream. Even if the people were not artists, the whole was nevertheless artistic. That young man with the long auburn hair and the impudent face, that young man was not really a poet, but surely he was a poem. That old gentleman with the wild white beard and the wild white hat, that venerable humbug, was not really a philosopher, but at least he was the cause of philosophy in others. That scientific gentleman with the bald, egg-like head and the bare, bird-like neck had no real right to the airs of science that he assumed. He had not discovered anything new in biology, but what biological creature could he have discovered more singular than himself? Thus and thus only, the whole place had properly to be regarded. It had to be considered not so much as a workshop for artists, but as a frail but finished work of art. A man who stepped into its social atmosphere felt as if he had stepped into a written comedy. More especially, this attractive unreality fell upon it about nightfall, when the extravagant roofs were dark against the afterglow, and the whole insane village seemed as separate as a drifting cloud. This again was more strongly true of the many nights of local festivity, when the little gardens were often illuminated, and the big Chinese lanterns glowed in the dwarfish trees, like some fierce and monstrous fruit. And this was strongest of all on one particular evening, still vaguely remembered in the locality, of which the